Welcome back to an all-new episode of Pro Wrestling Off Topic with Zach Hagenbusher and Joshua Jaeger.
Step into the ring, the spotlight shining bright. We're breaking down the moves, the drama of the night. Zach and Joshua bringing entertainment. Pro Wrestling Off Topic is our main event. Pro Wrestling Off Topic, yeah, we're in control. In addition, I'm catching fun that takes a hold. Grab your popcorn, get ready for the show. Oh, Pro Wrestling Off Topic, let's go, let's go.
Ooh, yeah, we're back for the 162nd time. The 162th time.
162.
16-time heavyweight champion, if you
times
will.
Times two.
Champion, if you will.
So Ric Flair and John Cena in the same ring? 16-time world champion times two?
16 times times two. Yes, that is right. I've wined and dined with kings and queens. I've eaten pork and beans with homeless people. Is that the line?
I don't think so. It's something about pork and beans, though, for sure. You know, it's this dusty on the mind tonight, Joshua. Is dusty on the mind this week? Were you touched? Well, I guess, you know, I don't want to beat around the bush. There's a lot to talk about this week.
I
guess we could start with that. You know, Dusty Rhodes had a family member wrestle this past week. And it's his son, Dustin Rhodes. How do you think he did in the main event of Dynamite?
Dustin Rhodes, he was fine. It was an okay match. There was nothing wrong with it. That was probably the climax of AEW Dynamite tonight, actually.
And the climax for the Rhodes family this week, I think.
Absolutely.
I don't think
anything else really happened. Does Cody still work? I don't even know. Did WWE...
I thought he was just a reality TV star now. I thought Rhodes to the Top was getting a season two.
I was certainly hoping it would, but no, in all honesty.
Just Cody like all of his other failed AEW ventures?
AEW hasn't failed yet.
No, I'm saying Cody Rhodes and his failed AEW ventures, because everything he did in AEW failed. But continue.
How dare you.
How
dare you?
I'm only stating reality. I saw it as it happened, right? I mean, come on.
That is true. Yeah. No, I would say, though, that WWE put on a pretty goddamn good pay-per-view this last weekend.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A pile of pay-per-views, it feels like. There was NXT. There was WWE WrestleMania. Night one and night two had what I've understood, record-breaking main events, like the second and third longest main events of WrestleMania history. Crazy. It's crazy. There was a lot going on. You know, and a lot of times when matches happen, and I don't know if we should get into spoiler territory, but you guys should know the finals. And it was difficult for me. I watched WrestleMania on delay on the old Peacock. I watched that Monday.
The good old cock.
I had to stay way, way off of social media all day to get through that before that nighttime before Raw came on. I finally watched all the rest of WrestleMania. But yeah, from what I saw, it was a very, very good show. I mean, not every moment in every wrestling match was crisp or wonderful or amazing or really meant all that much to me. But the main events were excellent. And I think that those matches and the particular matches in between, like, put together a really good, memorable WrestleMania, which I honestly don't know if I've seen one this good in 6 or 7 years. So they did a great job. Cody was awesome. I can't believe that I kind of got caught up in the emotions almost, like when the announcers and the commentators and everybody was kind of tearing up when Cody finally beat Roman. It was, I kind of felt it too. And it was like, you know, this all this time, this belt, this championship had been kind of held hostage by someone who had become so corrupt and so, you know, full of himself and his ego, just completely off the market, out of this world, that like he just never wrestled and he never came to the TV. And like, now we've got two champions who I assume will be on TV every week. So it's going to be a different era. It's going to be a very different feel to the WWE product going forward. And I think there's a lot of cool things that they can do with this too, because Paul Heyman, I assume, will be stepping away for a while. The Bloodline storyline is, I assume, over, but they could do a lot of cool things. The Rock could come back and feud with somebody. You know, maybe Cody, maybe Cody and Rock could do a match at SummerSlam, you know, or a few different things they could do. And then I assume if Roman does come back, even if he's still a part-timer, like, that will be an impactful moment. I think that won't happen for a while though. And Seth Rollins gets to take time off. So it's going to be a different time. And I think they did a really good job. They put together just about as good a wrestling pay-per-view as the WWE can do these days. And so all in all, it was good stuff. It was good stuff all around.
Was it good, Joshua? Was it great when Cody and Brandi Rhodes sat there in the most posed and fucking timed out bit of their segment to end the post-match celebration, where Cody is kneeling and the belt. Well, no, I'm saying the belt has been handed to him. He collapses. The belt has been handed to Cody Rhodes by Charles Robinson. Who yep. actually does have a look of true emotion on his face. And that was when I realized, wow, this is major for a lot of people. This is the reason why it touched so many. This is the reason why I thought for certain that had Cody Rhodes continued down the path with AEW, that he would have eventually won the World Heavyweight title there.
Yep.
Because this moment is something that the fans deserved to see in some fashion, because Cody, for all of his faults, has worked himself into a pretty good worker and a pretty good storyteller, for sure. I cannot deny that.
His skills match shockingly well with Roman. And maybe that's more of a testament to Roman Reigns, that he's a lot better worker than a lot of people realize, especially now that he's kind of... I mean,
Roman's been a good worker for like a decade. Ever since Roman had that match with Brock at Mania in 2015, I was like, okay, yeah, I see him in a different light now. Like,
That's
the first time they wrestled, which is a low key incredible match. Yeah,
it is. It really is, because that was the moment where I said, I even thought, okay, they could do something with him, because I was initially worried and everybody kept saying, oh, he's going to be the next Cena. He's going to be the next Cena. And I thought, oh, I don't know. And then he had a few matches in, and I'm like, oh, I really don't know. But that match with Brock, I agree. I can't believe that was 2015. I thought it was longer ago. But I loved it. And I loved the moments too, because this is that WWE gives you the moments, maybe not always the best matches, but those moments where you're like, oh, that happened, and it could only happen that way because for some reason it's WWE. But that one that always seems to get glossed over and forgot about is when Brock is just annihilating Roman in the ring, and Roman starts fucking laughing at him. That was huge. I thought that was something they should have done more of, and they never really went back and tapped into it. But how cool was that to see a guy taking belly-to-back suplexes over and over by Brock Lesnar, this fucking monster, this dominant monster, Suplex City, and he's just laughing at him. He pins him, he kicks out at two, and just laughs. It's like, oh, that is cool. That's just as impactful as like the Undertaker just sitting up, you know? That's like, wait a second, is this guy like getting the shit kicked out of him? Like, what is this dude's deal? And then, you know, whatever. But that whole thing, that was the Seth Rollins run-in, right?
Yeah. You know, he was laying there on the mat, and he was, I think he was thinking about that suffering succotash, son.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah. That was rough. But, you know, then he went on a ride of greatness. It was the greatest of all time. That's another thing that's like...
I'm the greatest of all time, son.
I'm the greatest of all time. I had a run where it started in the pandemic, where literally nobody was going to beat me because we didn't have any fans. And then it continued far longer than it ever should have, to the point where the programming became unbearable, to the point where a bunch of people turned off the show. Like, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that this era that AEW came up in, who was the world champion? Oh, yeah.
The entire time.
It was Roman Reigns.
The entire time,
including when it was bad. So he has absolutely nothing to do with any of this. If anything... everybody's just happy it's all fucking over. But I'm, whatever. I guess maybe I'm speaking out of turn.
I can see where you're coming from, and I definitely do think everyone thinks it's gotten, you know, to the point of, oh, thank God it's over. Because Roman's run, like, as champion, the Roman running, the run with him as the world champion, the one with the title, the bloodline storyline, all of these things ran longer than DX, the NWO, like, countless things. Like, obviously, the NWO kind of kept going until the end of WCW, but really, it was over by year two. And then DX was only about a year and a half in its first incarnation that was changed to something else. And then there was came back later, but his run is insane. The thing is, and this is what I was about to say before, but with the match with Cody, I think their chemistry is really good together. And I'd actually like to see them wrestle more matches. Maybe one somewhere down the road with a lot less interference, because literally the two times they fought each other, there's been an insane amount of interference both times. First time with Roman getting
but the advantage. But that's WWE main event matches.
It doesn't always have to be. Because in the interesting thing is where Roman came from when he first won this title during this run, and from then to today, both in ring and definitely on the mic, he's gotten improvements in all of that. Like, he's gone from kind of one of those, like, yeah, you know, where he's at is probably not to that same level as some of the greatest, but now you could kind of put him in that conversation, mainly because of the length of the title reign. Yeah, sure, he didn't defend it as often, but his promos were good. The angles that he was working was really good. And the crazy thing about a lot of this that we were talking about, how Roman, like, this championship he got, you know, pretty much when AEW came out and AEW came to be, is think about some of the guys that Roman was feuding with. It's really bizarre to look at. When I was looking back at Roman's entire run, he actually had a match against Cesaro for that Universal title. And it's like, holy shit. Whoa. Like, to me, it feels like Claudio has been in AEW for years now, which he kind of has, but, like, dude, this is insane how much has changed in the landscape of the WWE since Roman's run started. And while I will say, yes, they definitely jumped the shark on Roman being champ for so long and never coming on TV with the belt and, you know, all this shit, he still got reactions. You want to say people turned off the TV? I don't know about that, because his videos and the clicks on YouTube and on Twitch and Twitter and everything, not Twitch, but Twitter, they're through the roof. He's still an attraction. When Cody beat him, the crowd exploded.
He's such an attraction that Fox had absolutely no interest in picking up SmackDown again. None. The show that Roman was on the entire time that SmackDown was on Fox.
I don't know.
All I'm saying, I know what to say about it. It's that it's a fucking fantasy. This Roman Reigns goat thing is a fantasy. He did none of this. It is Cody Rhodes and it is AEW that created this situation.
I think it is more of a reflection of how SmackDown wasn't that great of a TV show than Roman's fault. But I digress.
Why wouldn't it, if Roman was such a charismatic goat, if he was the goat champion, Josh, then he should have been carrying that show to greater success than it's ever seen.
I mean,
oh wait,
The Rock, Triple H, and Stone Cold were all on Raw when Raw moved from USA to Spike TV.
Yeah. And that's an indictment of them as well, in a way. It's an indictment of the creative that this entire company deludes themselves into thinking.
They couldn't get anybody to buy advertising, and then they signed Goldberg, and they still couldn't get advertising on Raw.
Yeah, it's true.
It's more to do with the product. It's not to do with the stars. The stars are a part of it, but if you don't have a good TV show, look at AEW. They have a million stars, and their shows are fucking a joke.
Well, are not a joke. I mean, their shows are decent.
I
watched Dynamite. The whole thing. It's fine.
After I did, I attempted to watch a lot of it too. I apparently missed the All In footage, but I wouldn't say Dynamite is must see TV by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But then again, I wouldn't say Raw or SmackDown is either. And it's really sad because I think AEW could be great. And what are they doing with their wrestlers? What are they doing? Why is Okada coming out and squashing a nobody? What's the point?
Well, that's fine. Just to get him you have to introduce, if you think about it, he really doesn't have a lot of ring time in front of the typical AEW audience. You do need to establish him and his signature moves. I'm just saying it's a thing. I mean, yes, the most AEW people are probably know who Okada is and understand his reputation.
Of course they do.
But of course you've got, I mean, I don't know. It just that's like the one thing, the one time on the show where I'm like, okay, it's fine that they're wrestling geeks. Like, but even then, the finishes on this show weren't that bad. The trios match with, you know, Jericho and Hook and whatever and Shibata. Obviously, you didn't expect that those geeks were going to win, but it turns out here we go. Shane Taylor Productions has a win on TV. Like, I'm sure they might take that and do something with it. There are things on AEW that are working. There are bright spots. Swerve is probably going to pick up that belt at this pay-per-view.
Boy, I hope so.
And when he does, the page will be able to turn. You know, I feel like we will get a new chapter at that point. Will Ospreay is really heating up. He's going to be a part of the mix going forward. We're going to have new world tag team champions. We can get back to WrestleMania in just a moment, but speaking of this World Tag Team Championship match with FTR, the Young Bucks 4. There was a little something that took place during that show. And there's a little something, it was kind of a response to a little something that took place last week, which was the interview given by Philip Jack Brooks to Ariel Helwani on the MMA Hour to hype up WrestleMania. What a joke. This guy comes out, and I got to give him the credit, Joshua. He has a way with words, right? He has a way of making it all sound like it was, oh, it's understandable. It's reasonable. It's normal. I'm just a put upon guy. I'm just a normal guy. And I take the blue. What? I take the blue line home. When I get off the bus at the airport, I don't take a limo back to my house. I take the train. You know, he paints this picture. Ariel Helwani sitting there, just eating it up. It's just lapping it up. Absolutely, Punk. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you let me into my house. You let me into your house, and you didn't even know me. I really appreciate you for that. And I also I saw you at Paul Heyman's daughter's bat mitzvah many years ago. And you know, you really came up to me and you said hi to me. And you're a real mensch. You're a real mensch for that. May fucking makes me sick to sit there and listen to this journalistic malpractice that comes out of this fucker's mouth. When here we are with the footage revealed for everyone to see that this guy, Philip Jack Brooks, is not a nice guy. He's not a professional guy. He's a guy who showed up to a company that was already fucking established and decided he wanted to ride that wave of popularity into a new era for himself, where he would be the top guy, he would become the world champion, and then it's restart CM Punk's career.
Yep.
And he did become the world champion. He almost got away with it. Until people went, well, wait a minute. You're kind of disrespecting everything and everyone here. And he went, yeah, fuck you guys. I should disrespect you. Just fire me. Like, how is he the good guy? He isn't, right? Am I crazy? Am I some sort of insane person for thinking that this psychopath who has now attacked his coworkers, you know, blatantly, once now in front of the CEO of the fucking company, which obviously it was his intention to get fired. I'm not saying he wasn't trying to get fired. But, like, then he tries to attack Tony Khan. He fucking was gonna. If it hadn't been for Chris Hero and Jerry Lynn, CM Punk probably would have hit Tony Khan that night, full-on Bret Hart, Vince McMahon style, for no reason at all. Like,
so
it's insane. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I don't want to cut you off, especially when you got the motivation going.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Momentum. That I didn't understand, and I definitely watched the CM Punk interview with Ari. I didn't understand what the questioning was all about, and I didn't even understand what direction he was going. But, like, when you and I discussed this, and we just came back from the Midwest Gaming Classic this last weekend, which was a fantastic time and a great thing to do in Wisconsin if you're a gamer or if you're interested in any kind of retro stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's the best convention in town. But, like, they were supposed to be hyping WrestleMania. I mean, that was what CM Punk was there to do. I've never seen another time where, leading into the biggest pay-per-view of the year, a guy comes on a show to talk for an hour, and all he does is talk about his old job at his other place. That's like something that, imagine if Hogan had just signed with you know, WCW, and the NWO was just getting hot, and all they did was sit and shit on WWF. Like, oh yeah, when I wrestled Yokozuna, like, what? what are you talking about? Like, what are you doing? You're leading into this NWO thing. You're leading into the storyline. Like, what are you doing? Just let's talk about that. Let's hype it up. Let's get exciting. Or let's get excited. And it's so weird. And, but what you when you brought it up to me, when we chatted earlier about how it's kind of, it was calculated. It was like this thing to just make them look shittier. It was an AEW like kind of shit fest. Like everyone's mocking it and making fun of it. And it's like, oh wow.
It didn't seem that way at first, not to cut you off, but it didn't seem that way at first. But then with everything that came out in the week following, which we can follow up on after you're finished with your point here, sure. It seemed like it almost had to be a calculated attack. But yeah, go ahead.
It felt very, very calculated because, and that's the weirdest thing is like, I don't know, man, we can go into this. We can jump right into the footage now, but like, it's like, I don't understand why WWE took a shot at them. And I don't understand why AEW felt the need to respond. I guess I don't know. Maybe it's just the point now where and to me, it does seem, I don't know. I mean, the footage shows that CM Punk is a lying piece of shit. We get that. I've been pretty much on the side of CM Punk. You're a fucking crybaby piece of shit. You should step away from wrestling. Wrestling was better without you. Like, definitely. Like, no one needs you anymore. WWE doesn't need you. AEW definitely doesn't need you either. But this, like, response or this video that they showed, and yeah, it shows Punk is a dick, but it sure seems desperate. It sure seems just bad that this is a big thing. Like, they really needed to show this footage. Like, ugh. And we'll see if AEW Dynamite tonight hits a boost in the ratings, you know, because they've been rough ratings for AEW. I mean, Dynamite is still their best show, but they never hit a million viewers anymore. And Rampage is a joke and Collision has never been good as far as like people watching. So I don't know, man, like, I don't know. It's weird. And who knows? I mean, who else? You said that Triple H said something about Will Ospreay. But I actually didn't hear about that.
I mean, like, to continue
the comment and then,
yeah, to continue with what happened the rest of the week. I mean, yeah, in the Cody Rhodes interview, that was the very next day. Cody said, I don't agree. I don't think Tony cut, like, cause basically like how the question was phrased is important. But Ariel Helwani was like, so, you know, CM Punk was here yesterday and he called Tony Khan a clown and said that it wasn't a real business. Your thoughts?
Right. Yeah.
And Cody basically is like, yeah, so I definitely don't see it that way. And me and Kenny and Matt and Nick, you know, and he named like a bunch of people that like,
Chris,
you know, Brandy, you know, he name dropped all these people, right, who were there at the formation of AEW in the beginning of 2019. And all he said was, yeah, those people, you know, if any one of those people were not there at the beginning, none of that company happens. Like, none of it ever happens. And that then leads into a comment that he then proceeds to make about his wife Brandy's exit from AEW, which he hasn't talked a lot about, right? In fact, he hasn't talked a lot about either of their exits, right? Because they both exited at the same time. But he kind of pulled back the curtain a bit, in my opinion. It was very telling the way that he described and the way that he literally teared up when describing, when teasing and telling Harry Alwani that his wife was going to be a part of his entrance this weekend, or was going to be part of the show this weekend in some fashion, and that it was a big moment for her returning to the industry because of how she was scapegoated in AEW. Mm. Because of how she was scapegoated after they left or whatever.
Huh.
Brandi Rhodes in AEW was fucking dog shit.
It was awful.
She was dog shit. She couldn't wrestle. She could barely do a promo. My favorite moment, which I'll go back and I'll watch it over and over because of how hilarious it is. There's that she goes in and Jade Cargill, you know, she's like, I think Jade Cargill shows up and she shows up with the mic and she's like, who told you it was open mic night, bitch?
Oh, I know.
I'm like, okay. All right,
yeah,
Brandy.
That was rough.
All right, Brandy, this is, I'm not intimidated by you at all. Like, she really tried to, they Cody and Brandi tried to leverage AEW into something that it wasn't, that it was probably never going to be. They tried to make AEW into WWE Lite.
Yep.
For their own benefit. That's it. For their own benefit. They guess what? They got everything they wanted. They had the run of the place. They had their reality show. Cody had constant programs near the top of the card. And yeah, right. It's true. He didn't have the world title, but you know what? He allegedly booked himself into that position in the first place, which that may be a thing he heavily regretted doing, but it was the thing that he did. It wasn't anybody else's idea but his. Like, there are so many pieces of this of that story where I'm like, now, the more and more I look back at it, the more I'm like, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things where you could say, is anyone really blameless? No, right? But this idea that Brandi Rhodes was made into a villain, and that might be the true reason why Cody Rhodes decided to leave AEW and go to WWE instead, like to go take the Saudi blood money and work with Vince McMahon. After all of the years that he, you know what I mean? It all feels so much worse now, despite the fact that he finished the story. He did win the WWE title. He did get all of these things, but he got it in spite of, or leaving behind, this legacy that now is just completely, almost entirely thrown away. Because then Brandi Rhodes comes out later that week. She lays in another punch, clearly, to AEW in this week of bad press. Quote, what I feared with that company, I was seeing before my eyes. When you start to see things drift from the original vision, and I've seen this before, then you start to think, this may not be what we thought it was. End quote.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting.
You this know, may I, not be what you thought it was. They gave you everything.
Yeah, they did.
Punk, they gave you everything. This business, did. Oh, we're not in the same business. We're not in the same business. We're not about making money. They are,
good
they
grief.
Gave you everything. They gave you your own fucking television show.
Yep.
I.
Yeah, AEW's run is far, Brandi and Cody's run in AEW is weird because initially, like you had said, you could see Cody being AEW World Heavyweight Champion when he, you know, he got the Rhodes name back and, you know, things were starting to roll. And it's, I don't know, he definitely had issues, though, because he wasn't getting over. But I think he had booked himself into a really bizarre, like, upper mid-card spot.
Right.
On weird technicalities of like, oh, if you challenge for the belt and you lose, you can never challenge for the belt again. And it's like, okay, so what are you gonna do? Collect all the mid-card belts? Like that bottlenecks your character to run out of things to do extremely fast. Like extremely fast. So what are you gonna do then? You're just gonna be a backstage guy? Maybe that's what his plan was initially, is just to wrestle for a while, help him out with a big name, Cody Rhodes being a technically kind of a big name, and then just being, you know, backstage because he liked to be the vice president of the company or whatever it was he was. And so I don't know, but you're right. The Brandi Rhodes thing, that experiment they did with her, like in the faction that she was running or with the Nightmare Club or whatever the fuck it was.
The Nightmare awful. Collective. Yeah.
Yeah. Awful. Just junk. And the fact that they were basically never endingly feuding with QT Marshall. And like, it was just garbage. It was like, this is not good TV. Like, and the thing is at that point in time, AEW Dynamite was absolutely fantastic, like every moment of it. But once Brandi's music hit or something came out with that collective, it was easily the time to go take a shit. Like, just, okay, you can walk away now because nothing interesting is going to happen for quite some time. I'd say that Brandi Rhodes' run in TNA was better than her entirety in AEW. Because at least she got to team up with Moose in TNA.
I mean, you're probably not wrong. But I mean, it's, and then to finish up that week of bad press.
Yeah.
That was when Paul Levesque came in with the shots he's firing on the Pat McAfee show. First off, changing the ever present stance of WWE over the last 4 or 5 years is everything is our competition. Everything is our competition. We're competing with everything. Now it's, We are our own competition. The only competition we have is WWE's past. Is the greatest eras that's ever happened in this business. That's our competition now. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of right, you know, and obviously they are doing tremendous numbers, and they're more successful financially now than they've ever been. So, but it's like, I don't know. Even more and more and more in this world, it's been proven time and time again, financial success does not mean that it's enjoyable. Does not mean that it is
true.
That it is not morally bankrupt. Like I don't want to be that person, right? I don't want to. WrestleMania was fun. It was fun. I saw a lot of cool matches, right? I saw Becky Lynch and who clearly, I mean, you know, hot take, does not have it anymore. You know, get carried through a match by Rhea Ripley, and now she should probably get the fuck out of there. At least on the main event level.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, but yeah, you're right.
But then we have, who else? We've got Bayley got the big win over EO. That was really, really fun, and a match that they had been building up to for a long time, so good for them. Yep. You know, like
You know what I would say was
there's a lot of cool stuff.
There was a lot of cool ones, but you know what was probably one of my least favorite matches on both nights?
What's that?
LA Knight and AJ Styles.
Yeah, that was just kind of a weird match, and then LA Knight it just was. Won clean. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, what are they doing? I mean, like, and then during the week, they were doing the hype stuff with interviews and whatnot, and AJ Styles had said how he had, you know, AJ mentioned that he had a lot of friends in AEW. He said he had friends over there. He loves Kenny. He loves, you know, the Bucks. He's got a lot of friends over there, really close to them. And so when CM Punk initially was coming to WWE, he was very nervous. He was worried because he's like, this guy's bad, and it's all I've heard is bad things about him. But now that he's been there, he's just like, he seems like he's genuinely motivated and wants to help the WWE, and he likes to be there, and he's happy. And so he says after WrestleMania, he wants to open up a program with CM Punk. Now, is that going to happen anytime soon? I doubt it, because probably going to do Punk and Drew McIntyre, and then I'm sure Punk's going to get hurt again. But who knows, maybe around SummerSlam or Survivor Series, we might see AJ Styles and CM Punk. So, like, where's LA Knight in all of this? Like, I don't see
him. Who could possibly care?
I don't understand.
Who could possibly care?
You're not a fan. I think he's a good promo, but I don't know if he's great. I don't know if his ceiling is any higher than the Miz's. And I'm definitely not.
No, it isn't.
He needs to be a fucking ruthless heel. That's a good spot for him, because he always played a decent heel or a decent dumbass heel in TNA when he was a part of, when he was Eli Drake. So, like, that's where I think he could accelerate or excel more than being another face. And it's like, okay, where does he line in with the Cody Rhodeses and the Seth Rollinses? And, you know, even as a heel as Drew McIntyre, he's not going to beat Drew McIntyre. He's not going to beat Seth Rollins. He's not going to beat Cody. He's not going to beat Damian Priest. Is that his? Is that the goal? Like, it's just weird. I don't know. Yeah, and that was so I will mention that too. I actually really liked the Drew McIntyre Seth Rollins match.
It was great. And then the cash-in was great too.
The cash-in was great. It was very unexpected. I felt bad though. Like, they got me. Like, I actually felt bad, because I did think that the Rollins and Drew McIntyre, the stare down at the end when they kind of looked at each other and just sort of a nod of respect. But at the same time, like, Drew is like, I told you this would happen.
Yeah.
And then when he came over to Punk and he just sat there and he was like gloating in front of him, I'm like, uh-oh. And if they let CM Punk beat up Drew, like, CM Punk's supposedly injured and whatever. And yeah, he does. He takes his arm brace off and fucking clocks him across the head with it. That sucked. And then when the Judgment Day's music hit, I was like, no. And then it happens. And I'm a Drew. I like Drew Galloway. I like Drew too,
but I mean, I don't know. Yeah. This is almost better. Like, yeah, he did. You're right. He did. He got his vindication. He won flat out against Seth Rollins. There's nothing that anybody could take away from. He was the world champion. And then he got fucked by CM Punk and a briefcase. Like, it's not his fault, per se. And then he got fucked by CM Punk again, losing the title shot match. So, like,
true.
As much as I hate CM Punk,
we'll get there.
We'll get there.
We're almost there.
But Yeah, I think that what they did with Drew was perfect. I have absolutely no problem with what they did with Drew. I thought that it was great. And, well, no,
and that's the thing, is I can dislike it, or I can feel bad, or I can feel some sort of emotion like, ooh, I hated that. But that doesn't mean it was done poorly. It was done perfect. It was done great. That's that weird. I oftentimes find myself going from in a critical way of watching a product that I understand, and like I understand the product, I know what they're doing. But at the same time, there's moments when I forget that I'm that person anymore, and I'm a little kid who's just watching a movie, and he's like, oh, you know, good for Drew. And then that fucking hit gets hit, and then the music hits, and I'm like, oh, no. You're like, he just kissed his girlfriend. Like, oh, man. Or his wife, or, you know, whatever. I'm like, no. Yeah.
I think it's pretty pretty great that Adam Copeland, he gets to add to the trophy case of the Judgment Day as well, being a TNT champion, right?
Yeah. He sure does.
Yeah.
He sure does.
Hey, they're still using that music, and that was because he was in the group, so I'm just saying, it's all part of it. But
very true.
Okay, we beat around the bush there for a little bit, but I do want to make sure that I address this directly.
You better.
Philip Jack you Brooks, better. You piece of shit. look, everybody knew he was a piece of shit. Here's the thing.
What
gets me about it, I don't know. It's like Bully Ray, your best friend, Bully Ray.
Oh my God.
You seem to love the guy.
Hey, he's a multiple-time TNA champion. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a
fuckhead. And for comments exactly like this, where he says, what's the deal? What's the deal? What business sense does it... What does it help? Punk already admitted to it. What does this change?
You listen to more of Bully Ray on the podcast than I do.
If you... stop for any amount of time. If you actually what it changes is, if you watch the footage, if you watch what happened, it is 100% clear that CM Punk fucking lost it. A fuse blew in his head, and he violently assaulted somebody who may have verbally said, right? There's no sound, right? But maybe it's, oh yeah, man, what are you gonna do about it? What are you gonna do about it, huh?
Yeah,
and it's like, usually you don't say that expecting that what are you gonna do about it is getting actually hit. But good for Jack Perry not fucking cowering to this piece of shit who decides to come up to him backstage right before the biggest match, the show opener to the biggest show in the history of the company, and he decides to not only assault him just blatantly without physical provocation whatsoever, but as they're being pulled apart, remember when Punk said to Ariel Helwani, I was doing the responsible thing. I only choked him a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought I was doing the professional thing by not punching him. He punches him.
He definitely does. And he swings at him after the choke,
too. He swings at him after the choke. Like, you totally punched him. You absolutely did. You can't even... The thing that you fell back on as your excuse, you can't even claim is actually true at this point. Like, it just boggles the mind. And all of this... These WWE marks got to ride the wave of all this AEW hate. They got to stoke the flames and feed into each other's toxicity for the whole week. And that was continuously stoked by people in and associated with WWE that had dirt on AEW, that all decided that they were going to fucking undig that dirt on the same week, WrestleMania week, the week that they had the biggest spotlight that they were going to have all year, and they knew that. Why do you think they chose to talk about these things? It's because they wanted to. So, of course, Tony Khan had to do something about it, man. Of course he had to do something about it. You know what? You're right. From an objective standpoint, from a completely non-emotional standpoint, perhaps it was a mistake to show this footage of this attack on Dynamite tonight. But from the standpoint of, I guess you could say, somebody who was affected, right? Like, what am I trying to say? I... don't like, I'm much more of a homer for AEW than I probably should be, but that's only because they did provide a, like, they have been so important to the development of the industry for the last 5 years. Like,
they have. It's again, true.
I made the comment earlier because I mean it. WWE's current success would not be happening were it not for AEW. Period.
I agree. Now here's something I want you to think about too.
And for all of that, I'm sorry to wrap this thought up. Keep what you have in your head. Please follow up. But to wrap this thought up, I cannot stand the idea of it being destroyed by these fucking people who wanted nothing but to fucking take from it for themselves. Evidently, it's so evident that that was what was happening until it was no longer convenient for them. And then they fucking got off the Tony Khan bandwagon. And now they want to fucking shit talk him and shit talk the company. Oh, it's so important. And yet you guys don't give a shit. And you're like, let me just suckle up to WWE and ride this wave of, oh, we're just popular again. I'm CM Punk and I'm gonna go into the ring after WrestleMania 40 and raise the hand of Cody Rhodes as he holds the WWE title. Makes me fucking sick. Anyway, what were you gonna say?
So one thing, when Cody had his moment at the end of WrestleMania where Brandy was in the ring with him, they kissed and he had the belt in his hand.
The most staged moment of all time.
It is, but it was great because it was almost a play by play reenactment of the same exact moment that happened at the very first All In before AEW was a thing. Because Cody Rhodes had defeated Nick Aldis for the NWA Heavyweight Championship, which was a championship belt that Dusty Rhodes had held many times. They did that exact same thing at All In, which I loved. And I liked the fact that they reenacted the entire moment. It was well done. I thought it was very cool. Even if it did seem a little staged the second time, first time was a little more emotional, but this time, obviously, emotions were very high. It was a great moment. But all of those things that you're talking about in AEW, all of those moments, all of the great things, the reason why AEW has been so important, the Elite have been so important, the involvement, the Americanization a little bit of NJPW, even though I do feel that AEW has stunted NJPW's growth. Because AEW, with AEW here in the States, why does NJPW even need to be here at this point, in all honesty? They kind of don't. They've taken all their stars as it is anyway. So NJPW isn't as Americanized anymore. But there's a couple things. Like, all of those stars that we've loved, I have been watching AEW for so long, but I'm watching it less and less and less because all of those reasons are becoming less and less and less. The MJF hasn't been on TV in forever. I don't know.
He's hurt. He's recovering. You can't expect him to be there every second.
They've removed him from everything, Zach. If they're trying,
it's part of the story.
That's great, but they're losing momentum. If this is their patience paying off, and if there is some way, there's the thing. You want to have a part of a story that's great, but if you're going to do desperate things like show CM Punk fucking footage on episodes of Dynamite, why not have a, hey, how's MJF doing moment? Why not have MJF just do a promo? Why not have MJF come out, not even on TV, just to hype up the crowd before and after shows? They could do a million things with him. But they're refusing to, which makes it very shady. If they're going to have this patience to play out this long time story building thing, that's great. But if they're going to continue going in this route, there aren't going to be any fans left because no one's going to give a shit. Because if this show this week doesn't do well in the ratings, I think a lot of people are giving up on them as just another desperate attempt. This is no better than Dixie Carter. This is no different than Dixie Carter getting emails found out by Spike TV and then getting booted to fucking Destination America. A year from now, AEW is going to be on the app. It'll be on the WB app or something. Like, they need to do something now. All of the reasons that we fell in love with AEW, I'm not seeing them anymore on TV. I'm not seeing the same company anymore. I'm seeing a different company. The show feels sloppy. That fucking, I love, by the way, Toni Storm. Toni Storm's a great character. She does most of everything well. But the Thunder Rosa segment was cringeworthy. She is terrible on the mic. I don't even know why she's on TV anymore. Where is Britt Baker? Why aren't they using Britt Baker? Is she injured too?
No, like, I wish I knew. I wish I knew, Joshua. I wish I knew. I'm not saying that the company is well run at the moment.
It really doesn't seem like it.
It really doesn't seem
like it. if that's the problem, is that they needed the Bucks, they needed Kenny, they needed Tony, they needed Cody, like they needed all these people. Like they need to figure out what the fuck is going on so that it's not just Tony Khan running the show by himself anymore, or whatever it is that's happening. Like it's just, it feels sloppy. It doesn't feel like a cohesive show that smoothly transitions from thing to thing. It seems to me like they're trying to smash so much stuff on TV as fast as they can just to get things in, that it's just because that's what they got to do, because they got to showcase their talent. But the same shit that is was the problem a year ago is still the same shit that's a problem now. We were talking about this a while back. We were talking about how it seems like talent doesn't want to lose, so they bring in these guys that just don't want to lose. They want to have their meteoric rise to the top, and then who are they going to get beat by, or who are they going to beat, or what's going to happen? So like you bring in geeks to get beat by these tag teams. You get geeks to get beat up by Okada. Like have Okada beat a mid-carder. Have Okada beat someone that makes sense. I'm not saying you shouldn't have Okada on. You should. You should every fucking week, as often as you can. But saving him for a pay-per-view for a big match is probably better. Having him come out, do a promo, I don't understand. Like, it just didn't feel like a well-produced show anymore. When they show highlights of the old Dynamite, it looks so much better. It felt better. The crowds were hotter. Like, I don't know. We saw, I'm blanking on name. Shibata. Shibata came out to the ring, and it was practically dead silent. Like that crowd didn't react in any way. His music was quiet. The commentators were talking, and that crowd was. You could hear. You could hear crickets chirping. It's like, what are they doing? It's just such random mishmashes of people, and it's, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not paying as close attention, and I'm not watching from week to week, but this episode tonight did not make me feel like, oh, I can't wait until next Wednesday. Can't wait to watch Friday. Can't wait to watch Saturday. It's not. It just didn't do anything for me. I want to hear about, at the end of this month, if Swerve beats Samoa Joe. That's about all I give a shit about, and if Swerve wins, I will definitely tune in after that, because I do want to see that, but man... I mean, this didn't do anything for me. This is like, this feels a lot like when TNA was on Spike TV and the ratings were dropping and everyone was leaving and there was nothing good happening, and the shit with Dixie Carter and her emails got found out, and they, whatever, you know, they were still dealing with Vince Russo in the back or whatever behind the scenes, and then they got booted off of that and went to the Destination America thing. I don't want to say it's identical to that, but it really does feel kind of like that. Like TNA was doing stupid desperation shit. They're bringing in, they're having Dixie Carter get powerbombed off of a, you know, through a table. They brought in MVP. They brought in like the American Werewolves. Like they were doing all these moves. But Josh, moves
this
and
isn't
stuff.
Even close to that. I
don't think it's.
I
that
think it's
far
incredibly
away.
Uncharitable to compare it to those things. I mean, that's after they already lost the TV partner that had been anchoring them. It's not as if WB has canceled AEW. That's not happened, at least not to public knowledge, right? I mean, I don't see any reason why they would immediately.
No, I don't believe they have.
I mean, saying is what we're talking about is a direct response. Okay, so the CEO of the company, the owner of the company, the fucking head booker, got called a clown. Was unchallenged, by the way, unchallenged in getting called a clown and being told that their business wasn't a real business on one of the biggest public platforms that could have been given to that person, with an interviewer that is very famous for having a good relationship with that person. Like, I don't see how he couldn't respond.
Ari has a good relationship with Tony Khan?
No, with CM Punk.
Oh yeah, no. I was gonna say, because I kind of looked back in his catalog of things, and there was a video he did, like a 15-minute rant about how embarrassed he was for an interview he had done with Tony Khan the year prior.
Yes. Yeah.
Where he just basically kept asking Tony questions, and I'm sorry, Tony, he's always looked like he's coked up out of his mind. He's just always sucking down coffee. He's on like every energy caffeine pill you could possibly imagine, but he just keeps saying he can't answer that question. I can't answer that. It's like, he's like, well, how did you feel during that moment? He's like, I can't legally say. It's like, you can't legally say how you were feeling. Do you understand what you can or cannot say? Like, I mean, he must have been wanting to bury Tony Khan because of that interview or something.
Right. Because he got mad because he, oh, what I, whatever it was, They had to fire back. They had to do something. If they didn't do anything, it would be, then they really would just be rolling over and letting it be nothing and letting it bury them. Right. So in my opinion, I'd rather they did this because now it's so really publicly clear. Well, it's clear now it's for the so record sad. Book forever. It's not sad. How is it sad? How is it sad?
It's desperate. They didn't need to do this on Dynamite. When that interview came out, they could have literally popped this out on social media. They could have literally just put it on social media and let it spread like wildfire that way. More people are on Twitter and YouTube than they're watching fucking Dynamite. But
let's not forget about the fact that they did use it for their story for the actual pay-per-view match with the big feud that's been building. I mean, I'm just saying, you cannot discount the fact that that did happen. FTR went on to cut a promo that was longer than their video presentation. Like, it. Yeah. I'm just saying, you're criticizing them, you're making it sound, in my opinion, way worse than it actually is, because what it is them being self. It's self-defense.
It's that's fine. It still comes across to me like desperation and an attempted ratings grab. And there was a lot of people who had actually said that it might wind up being a staged like video, a comical video or something like that. Which would have been so awful. Like,
yeah, no, they really would have been terrible. They had to come forward with the real thing. But I mean, like, again,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I didn't like it. I think if what you were saying, they can't do nothing. They had to do something. Okay, so this is what they did. This is what they chose to do. They can't do nothing. What I would have done had I been AEW is I would have put on a pay-per-view quality show on Wednesday night and said, wow, you guys spent 10 hours watching WrestleMania over the weekend and our show fucking rocked it. Our show's better. Our show's wrestling's better. We put on crazier matches. Like, they should have
done that for years, and it hasn't made it obviously hasn't shut up the WWE marks enough. So that's just how it is. They haven't done that
in a long time, Zach. You say years, but it has been probably this entire year that they've done an AEW episode of Dynamite that's been that quality.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, they haven't
now
had
good TV. Now they're spread insanely thin. Now they have 5 hours a week of TV to do and a pay-per-view every month. It isn't the same AEW. They're spread too thin. Their talent, nobody wants to lose to anyone. They have issues. They have to fix this. And I don't know. I know that I'm making it sound like dire, like they're in a lot of trouble.
They are. I mean, I'm not denying that they are. They are in trouble for sure.
This is purely for me to think that in order to get to back to where they were, I'm talking a year and a half ago. I'm talking 1 year ago because MJF is champ, building up to Adam Cole at Wembley was fucking amazing. Like, I was all in to quote unquote a thing. But when they started to push this whole pay-per-view every month, adding Collision, like doing all this extra stuff, it was like, I guess we'll see. And we figured it out right away. You said immediately Collision's going to fail. It's going to be a fucking terrible show. I won't watch it.
And it did.
And it is. And it still is. And they refuse to accept it.
Yep.
It's sad. And then what's this weekend? There's 5 hours of wrestling, I think I saw. Because there's Rampage. And then there's Collision. And then there's Battle for the Belts.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Jesus. Just what? And they don't even have any matches. Not that I've seen booked. Why not promote this shit? Like, say, hey,
it's another one of those things, right? The old AEW literally had their entire week, like, lined up, and they were telling you about it right before Dynamite was over. Yep, and now Excalibur would run through, like, every match as quickly as he could.
In, like, 10 seconds.
And now they're done with that because they don't know what it is.
They have no idea. We don't know what Battle for the Belts is even going to be.
What belt? What battle? I mean, okay. Yeah, I know you're right.
What belts would even be on the line? They're all being defended a week later at the pay-per-view.
You're right.
God damn it. This is such a schmoz. There's no reason to watch because next week all that shit will be out the door anyway and they'll be doing something stupid and new. I don't know, man. I don't know.
No, you're right. I mean, I can't sit here and say that things are perfect. They're not.
And you're not saying that to begin with. But I'm just, I don't know. I'm mad because I know how great AEW can be, because the fucking locker room that they have now, Will Ospreay and Okada and Shibata and God damn. I mean, the Bucks, the FTR, They've just got a wonderful.
I mean, group the pay per view is going to be great. I presume
it should be. It should be. Yes, I agree. I agree. But the lead up is just. Ugh, I don't know. I want to see Swerve win, but I really wish. I don't know. I want to see Swerve win. I think that'll be cool.
Yeah, no, they need to shake things up. They need to have Swerve win, and I agree. They need to. What they really need is some form of creative director. I don't know. They need somebody like producing the show. They definitely. I mean, I don't know if I don't know if it's because Tony's trying to do all these different things at once, and now he just has finally run out of rope. But it's like apparently he was able to do it before. How was he able to do it before? Is it because he wasn't booking Collision? That was probably it. You guys, if you think about it, because he has to come up with so many ideas on Wednesday for Saturday before he'd be able to come up with ideas for next Wednesday.
Yeah, now, I think,
you know,
when you double your time on TV, it's definitely going to wear everything thin. You can't use, you know, and they don't do house shows. I mean, if they do, it's extremely rare. Not to mention, there's also Ring of Honor that he books too, or at least he produces. So it's just too much. I think there's too much.
Yeah, you're probably.
But what you were saying though is, does he need someone to help with the direction? Does he need someone to help with the production in the back and to work with the headset on and get down in the dirt and get down with those workers? I mean, there is a free agent out there that could step right in and take over.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Vince. And Tony can come out and do his little tippy toes dance and get up really excited. He's like, "I want to introduce to you the new director!
The greatest signing in the history of AEW!
We've got the biggest news that we've ever had before! It's Vincent Kennedy McMahon!" And he could come out with his mustache and say, "That's right, you little bastards!
That's right, pals!
It was me all along!
I've purchased AEW!
And now the fate of AEW rests in my hand."
I hope that isn't where this is going. Vince, do not attempt to buy AEW, because depending on the night, maybe Tony would be willing to sell it at this point.
Yeah.
I wonder, man.
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. At the end of it all, CM Punk ridiculed the fact that Tony Khan felt any level of fear, right? He said, I fear for his life. Fear for his life. He dismissed it. He completely dismissed it, basically saying, that fucker, he thinks that he was fearing for his life. He wishes he would have been fearing for his life. Meanwhile, that is, in my opinion, the real most important piece of that footage. It was not anything to do with Jack Perry. Because we basically knew how that all happened. As it unfolded, it was exactly as I had read it described, right?
Yeah.
But what I was really curious about is this idea that you're going to fucking go out here and slander these people. Like, there's video proof that you are a fucking liar. That you did give him a reason to be afraid for his life. And you're lucky he doesn't fucking come at you with more. He hasn't come at you with any kind of legal action. He's just let you walk away because he shouldn't. So he shouldn't.
If you look at the videos, like the ones that you sent me, if you scroll through the comments, and people are just saying that this hurts AEW. This is sad. Brock throwing the title at Vince is more dangerous than this, because Vince actually was fearing for his life that way. Where is Tony in this video? Where is Tony Khan in the video?
He is in that little alcove. That's where Gorilla is. That's the production. It's got those three monitors. Yeah. Huh. You can see him. He tries to come out. He tries to come out of the booth and then he winds up getting essentially chased back in. Huh.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
I mean, sure, that's what the comments are saying. Who gives a fuck what those people think? They're WWE marks. They're going to think what they're going to think. That's it. I never look at the comments for anything. Who gives a fuck about the comments? It's not about
the
comments.
You can gauge what people are thinking if you go through a majority of comments. And also, yeah, fuck them and fuck what they think. But that is the fan base. That's where your viewers are. That's where, you know, I mean, there are shit talkers and they're trolls and they're, you know, no matter what you do, they will always shit on it. But if you if you put on a fucking five-star match, and I hate the five-star match bullshit, but like you put on excellent TV or excellent wrestling, you know, people can only say so much. Like, oh, your show is stupid, doesn't have any stories, but it has really good wrestling. Like, oh, thanks. That's what you want to watch.
That's what I'm saying. Wrestling. They're not. That's the thing. They're not talking about the show. These idiots don't. Oh, it looks really bad for AEW. Well, I guess if you had any context for that outside of this video, you may understand it more. But you don't, because you don't watch AEW. That's what I mean. People who watch AEW, I guess, I that is. I'm sorry. I'm trying to focus my thoughts here as we wrap things up this evening.
Sure.
If there's one thing that, yeah, I guess maybe that's the one thing I want to try and end on, is the sentiment that, look, I understand not everything's perfect, okay? And I understand AEW used to be better, and we've said it on the show for, it's been the theme. I mean, we've picked it out. We picked out the problems with AEW this entire time. When they started doing the ROH thing, we thought that it could be a problem. When they started doing Collision, we knew it would be a problem. And now, in the last couple of weeks, with viewership trending downward, I have been open with my analysis, if you will, that AEW is for sure in trouble. They are existentially in trouble right now. This past week, with these bad faith people who have a history with the company and have a bone to pick, trying to essentially kill it, that did piss me off. I'm sorry, it did. I can't help it. That, to me, is beyond the pale. You shouldn't be trying to do that shit. I guess Punk I expected from, but Cody Rhodes? Come on now.
I don't know. I don't know what their mentality would be in ways of, like, you know, trying to bury AEW or trying to kill it and do whatever. However, man, I don't know. I think a year ago, just a year ago from now, even WWE people, even Michael Cole, you know, on Pat McAfee was saying, like, I'm happy AEW is here. Because I have a lot of friends in AEW. I have a lot of friends that would normally be working in the indies and would normally be working overseas or wouldn't be in the US. And here they are. They have a great job and they have making great money and, you know, all these things. And so everyone seemed so pro AEW or pro competition is what, you know, the term, I guess you'd want to say. Because there is definitely proof that there can be the existence of two pretty large wrestling organizations. One's obviously the larger one of the two, but still fairly large on national TV and putting on well lit, you know, arenas with 5,000 to 10,000 people weekly and monthly for sure for pay-per-views. So there's definitely enough room. So like the fact that it's kind of taken a weird turn and from what I can tell, AEW has done nothing to really bash WWE other than the normal kind of comments here and there, maybe a promo to mock something, but nothing like vicious, but like it seems like everything's taken a weird turn in the world of the WWE, and it's just let's fucking kill them. They're down. They lost their megastar that they created an entire show for. You know, it's weird. If they were gonna really make Collision CM Punk's show, why didn't they call it Clobberin' Time? That's what they should have called it. I mean, SmackDown was named after The Rock. It was his line. It was his catchphrase, you know, SmackDown. I thought SmackDown was the dumbest idea for a name of a TV show ever. And it's still around 20 some years later. So that's crazy. But like, yeah, I don't understand where the mentality is of let's get rid of AEW. Let's fucking kill it. Let's just get rid of it. They're down and out. Let's keep them kicking them while they're down. I just don't get it. Like, I don't know. It's weird. I do know that AEW has acted weird with some relationships that they've had over the years, though. Like, and I'm always looking at this from a TNA perspective, but it really does feel to me that AEW is trying to kill off TNA. Like, it's like we're gonna either take their stars away from them or put on the Battle of the Belts the same nights that they have pay-per-views or whatever random things keep happening. But it is odd. Like, it seems like they're really trying to slit their throat. Maybe that is a mentality in WWE too, because if you look at the profits or when they went public, you know, things like that. I mean, the number two in the US was TNA, and they were a very distant number two, like very, very distant. maybe not as distant as some people thought, but to us visually they looked distant. So like, maybe it's in WWE's best interest for TNA to become number two again. So like, I don't know, there's potential for partnerships there. Apparently TNA executives did go to Philadelphia to WWE headquarters as well over the weekend to discuss some possibilities, and that's, who knows what that means. TNA's got what is their show? They got a pay-per-view on 420 where Matt Riddle's going to debut, it sounds like. Rebellion on April 20th. So yeah. We'll see in 10 days. In 10 days. Not from when you guys are listening to this, but 10 days from this time.
Well, roughly.
Specifically.
Roughly,
yeah.
Joshua, we'll okay. I'm tapped out. I'm tapped out on this. It's emotionally drained me.
On the 162.
I'm tapping out on 162. I've all I can say is that I'm dismayed. I'm disheartened. I wish that things had not unfolded the way they did. WWE had a really cool weekend of like a show. It's true, their show was really good. I wish they had just let that speak for itself. They didn't have to do the things that they did. I think that that's the thing that pisses me off the most about it, is that it did not have to be this way. They made it this way on purpose. And now it's like, oh, now suddenly AEW is the one that's being called desperate. It's not desperate to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not desperate to punch up. They have to do something. They can't not do anything. That's my opinion on it. Anyway.
This smells of the WCW using Hogan and Macho Man as their main stars, and then Vince creating the Huckster and Nacho Man videos when they were like, look at how old they are, we're gonna make fun of that. It's desperation. It is desperate because they put it on their main show. It could have easily been shared on anything else. It could have been shared on the social medias is where it should have been, and then they could have literally still did the same promos and stuff on Dynamite saying, tune in Wednesday night for all of AEW's top stars in an amazing match. No. We're going to show the backstage segment that people are talking about because CM Punk did an interview this last week. Holy fuck. You buried all of your own workers in order to talk about CM Punk still.
But that's not what they did. They turned it into a storyline for their workers. Like,
nobody's talking about the Bucks versus FTR anymore. Now they're still talking about CM Punk and Jack Perry. That's what we talked about. I don't even think we mentioned the match at this upcoming pay-per-view.
I mean, we did. That's what I opened it up with. That's what I used as a segue. There's a match at the pay-per-view between FTR and the Young Bucks.
Who do you think's going to win that match?
I don't know. Probably the Young Bucks. I don't see why not.
Oh, I already know who won. I already know who won the match.
You already know who won the match?
Mm-hmm.
Who won the match?
It's the guy with the broken arm, CM Punk. Sadly.
Yeah, in a metaphorical sense, you could be correct. But Joshua, where can the people find you?
If you wish to follow me on all of the fun and exciting social media platforms. We talk about wrestling. We can talk about video games. We can talk about comics. We can talk about movies. Hey, that really cool new Zack Snyder movie sequel is coming out to Netflix in a couple weeks. We could talk about that. Is it Red Dawn? Is that what it's called? Anyway, I think it is. No, New Moon? Red Dawn?